Hey, America.
Start listening now.
All right, that was a great Super Saturday, oof. I think. And I think we're all thinking the same things. We're all super happy with how this went, maybe with a couple of exceptions. Why don't we just all say how we feel at the same time? Because it can't possibly backfire.
Mm-mm. One, two, three. Latvia is canceled.
What?
Wait, what?
And welcome to another contentious episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, contributors to the technical nuclear penguin arms race. I'm Eric. Oh, no.
You guys both pointed at each other.
Oh, well.
And either way, Danny's not here, so it threw off our flow.
Yeah,
again.
It's ruined.
He's still acting. It's not the same exact production from last week, but, you know, he has slept and eaten between shows, of course. But
yeah.
We certainly hope so.
I certainly hope
so. By the way, who are you guys?
I don't know, but I'm Samantha.
I'm Derek.
And
Danny is... he's elsewhere.
Tough.
He'll be back soon.
Yeah,
he will
come
back,
Danny. We miss you.
Italy / Latvia might be canceled, but Danny is not.
canceled. Let's see. Folks, you can check us out on social media at 12pointsUSA on Twitter and Facebook. Send us an email at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com or visit our website, www.12pointsfromamerica.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting good at this.
You are.
Great.
If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast streaming service, feel free to give us a review. We'd love to hear your feedback, especially if it's positive. We could always use the ego boost. And if it's not, then let us know directly what we can do to make the show even better and more kick-ass and accessible to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't remember how to tell us, you can rewind the show and hear us plugging the socials. It improves our stats that way. Let's see. Oh my goodness, we have so much news.
So much news. The fire hose, it still keeps on blasting out more news.
Fire's not out yet.
Nope.
Blazing out of control.
The fire will not go down until, May 17th, most likely?
Yeah, we've got the fire. The music is our passion.
It's my life.
That's right.
I'm making the Macedonia face right now.
Fuego.
Fine.
Fuego.
All right.
Yeah.
What do we got? We have online host news. I feel like we won't have a ton of this, but we have some this week.
Yeah, this is a first, I think. I mean, I figure we would go into the news about the structure of the show rather than just dive right into the music. We can kind of keep that on theme. We just got the news this week that one of the Netherlands' most famous faces, especially amongst the younger generation, Nikki Tutorials, who is best known for her makeup videos and lifestyle tutorials. She is going to be doing live reporting for the red carpet. She's going to be doing a YouTube series on Eurovision. She'll appear in all three live shows. She is a really big name, especially if you're slightly younger than the three of us.
But only slightly.
Only slightly.
Yeah.
Only slightly.
Yeah, we're not old.
No matter how much you were making fun of me for having a birthday a couple weeks ago.
Well, you shouldn't have done that.
Blame your parents.
Is that her real name?
Oh,
does she come from a long line of tutorials?
Yeah, her father, John Tutorials, is...
Okay.
I don't know.
She's related
John
to
Tutorials.
The
tutors. He was great in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I mean,
it's
obviously,
her,
she's
Nikki De Jager is her real name, but Nikki Tutorials.
I was gonna say if that was her real name, it'd be like Tutorial Dorp or something like that.
Wait, her name is Nikki De Jager.
De Jager,
like of hunters.
I believe so. Yeah.
And now she does tutorials.
She's a master
on
of
hunting.
You would say that she is a master of Jaegers.
Yeah,
that's too much.
Never too much.
A little
well,
too
actually,
strong.
Actually,
a little
there is a bit too much when it comes to Jagermeister.
Yes.
Yes, but yeah, so we will be seeing lots of her lovely painted face all over Eurovision. So yeah, more power to her, and to see sort of the combination of different kinds of media kind of squishing into one. I like seeing those lines being blurred. This has always been a competition and a festival really about sharing technology and sharing that among borders and among broadcasters. So to see the YouTube sphere kind of getting merged into a television program like this, it's kind of cool to see that.
It does seem cool to have that audience potentially brought in.
Mm-hmm.
I worry, and this is just me being protective of my favorite song contest, I think, but that it will bring in, I don't want to say the wrong type of audience, but a type of audience that will laugh at it as opposed to with it, that sort of thing. Because it is such a, at first glance, such a crazy, weird contest.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, considering that, you know, we're constantly shifting and growing, and I don't really know too much about her demographic of who she's kind of catering to. Obviously, people interested in makeup and lifestyle, which a lot of those people might be watching Eurovision anyway. Looking at her subscriber count, she has 13 million active subscribers on YouTube.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
way more than us.
Yes.
It's bigger than us.
Nikki, tell us your secrets. So for a little bit of context, that's the population of Armenia plus the population of the Czech Republic equals approximately the number of followers and subscribers that she has on YouTube.
It's a very narrow demographic, just
yeah,
those two countries.
She doesn't have subscribers anywhere else.
Guys, you're killing my point. can't take you anywhere.
Now we're down to 11 points from America.
Oh, now I have to do all the rebranding.
Yeah.
Get a new Facebook
I'll
account.
I'll buy a new logo. It's
okay,
my fault.
Okay.
We've got a bit of news from our internal selection countries. Romania is sending
Roxanne.
She doesn't have to put out the red light. Moving on. I like Roxanne.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Roxanne.
She sounds pretty great.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting one.
Definitely. 20-year-old artist from Cluj-Napoca. It was interesting to see how they kind of launched her. They did it almost the exact same way that they launched Victoria for Bulgaria.
Oh.
Having just the artist, but this really beautifully shot, long-form introductory video talking about her point of view, talking a little bit about her career, but done very artistically.
Hmm. Oh, they're going to send the same song.
Hey, you know what? If they're both the same good song, then what the
heck?
Yeah,
just have every country do the same song.
So I'm really, really excited to see what they do with that.
I think that's a good strategy, though, in general,
yeah.
is to kind of tease it out, get some interest. I think Spain kind of made a mistake just dropping the song as early as it did.
Right.
Without a lot of... It didn't seem like it got much fanfare.
No, it was kind of odd, the fact it was just, oh, well, here's our song.
Yeah, here's Universe.
And I kind of understand why they did it. It's like there are no other songs being announced right now, so we'll kind of suck up all the air.
Yeah.
But once other songs started to come in and other shows started to come in, Universe has kind of been forgotten about a little bit.
Yeah, so, I kind of forgot that it existed already.
Yeah. So Romania will keep the momentum up a little bit. We'll hear their song. It looks like March 1st we'll get that. We don't have any real information about the song, but we have her.
Danny has talked a couple of times about, for a song to do well, there needs to be kind of a personal connection between the singer and the listener, or the viewer, I guess. And these videos that start out being about the singer and not just like, hey, here's a song by someone you've never heard of. It really does seem like a great strategy. Because then when the song does come out, you know a little bit about the artist. And I realize it's just a video, but you've kind of gotten to know them a little bit.
Yeah. Mm.
And I feel like that's got to be helpful.
I think so too.
In that situation.
Definitely.
Take it to an extreme though. It'd be interesting if they created a character, sort of like Conchita Wurst, and then just created this entire world and had like videos and documentaries made about them in anticipation of the song.
Well, look at what Hatari did. And granted, we got the song at the same time that we got them. Actually, no, we knew that Hatari was coming into the national final before we had the actual song. But
we saw them coming.
But we kind of saw their momentum build.
Hmm.
They came with their own media machine.
They do play the game well.
They played the game spectacularly well.
That would be a fun way of building buzz for your artist.
Is just the online
character.
I feel like this is something we're going to see a lot more of going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like the most logical thing, especially with all the online attention and available resources they have to put out videos and music and clips and interviews and stuff that they can control and make look very good.
Right.
Like professional and polished and kind of generate a story in advance. I feel like some of the artists, even last year, kind of came in like, I'm a singer, here's my song, and that's all you're going
to
get.
Right. No, having that multidimensional aspect of it, having something to hold on to. You know, if something is too smooth, too polished, there's nothing to hold on to. So having a personality, having interesting facts, having a story really going behind them, it makes them more memorable.
Yeah. Or just even if the person is fairly straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Find a way to make them interesting and relatable.
Yeah.
And this kind of, we never really talked about this. When we talked about the postcards in previous episodes, some of my favorite postcards were whenever it was hosted in Sweden. It wasn't, we're going to do a travelogue of Sweden. It's, we're going to fly a film crew out to their country and film them just being themselves in their hometown, going grocery shopping, hanging out with their family, you know, doing goofy things around town.
I love that.
And it made them seem human for a moment.
Right. Even in the postcards that are sort of travel-based, like the ones that we saw in Israel. I mean, my favorite of the postcards was the one for Georgia, where, you know, the song that he was singing, Keep Moving Forward, was always so serious and so almost scary. But his postcard was so bright and energetic, and he was smiling and dancing and eating pita. And, you know,
yeah.
It was like, hey, look, guys,
have
bread.
He's having a great time.
So, yeah, even just for that split second, just showing personality, it's so, so vital.
They would need more than just the 45-second intro interviews
to gain that sort of
to gain the momentum and gain the connection. And I feel like a lot of artists really struggle with selling themselves in the interview format or the press conference format.
Yeah.
A lot of them come off really kind of flat, or just they're just not like good at marketing themselves in a way that some of the other artists are. And if they had a team behind them who could be like, okay, we're going to film you like this, we're going to give you these things to say, we're going to ask you these questions so you can answer them and edit around it so we can make it look really nice.
Right. I mean, it's great when artists are really all about the music. You could tell that they truly do care about what they're presenting on Eurovision stages and frankly in gigs that they would do elsewhere. But sometimes they're so focused on the music that they forget how to market themselves. Because in a way, this is a marketing contest. You know, having a little bit of momentum going into things is vital as you're trying to get people from Reykjavik to Tel Aviv on your side and potentially voting for you. Get people engaged. And that starts now, if not earlier.
Start engaging now. We also have a new song title from our good friend
Sandro. Yes.
It's called Running. It's a cover of the Hungary from 2014.
That was the cover of the Azerbaijan 2012.
No, that's Running, I'm Scared.
No, I'm good with this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll find that out probably in the next couple of weeks or so.
I love how that, like, knowing the name of that song means nothing. And it's still so exciting.
It is, because we're just...
Like, what could it be?
We're just dying for little crumbs of information. Mm-hmm. And people are just trying to glean little bits of any
sort
of...
Does it mean they're in the running? Are we going to Cyprus?
Oh my God. We can't run to Cyprus. It's an island. No.
But that's what the song is about. It's like, telling us how to make it work.
Yeah, but they're seeing...
It involves freezing the globe.
Don't worry. Malta taught us how to walk on water.
Yeah.
So kind of talking about the song title thing, and one of the things I find interesting every year is they'll announce the song title as though that will have some weight. And it ultimately it means nothing, but then you're like, well, what's it going to sound like? And what does that mean?
It gets people talking.
And it gets people talking.
It's all about the marketing.
Yeah. And I thought, kind of going on the marketing thing, Hovig, Gravity.
Yeah.
He released these like short 5-second videos teasing out the title. And I'd be like on Facebook and people would be like, it has something to do with space or, you know, physics. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? And then eventually it was like, it's mass times gravity, or what is it?
Whatever the formula is. I didn't do well in physics.
I completely forgot what it was. But I'm just like, well, it's obviously
gravity. It's the
fall
down unit.
Yes. Like, and it's like, well, it's obviously gravity. But I just thought, that's a really clever way to do it, because it kind of got me engaged in thinking rather than just saying, it's gravity.
Well, I mean, the Czechs did that a little bit this year, as, you know, they didn't want to announce immediately who was in the running for their national final. So instead of just announcing the names of the people who are going to be in the running, they announced what's their shoe size or how many concerts have they done or what's their favorite origami figurine, and they stretched it out and they got people talking, especially in a time when there wasn't a lot to talk about. So it's all about playing the game.
It's really amazing how a good marketing campaign can make you care about something that just doesn't really affect your life in any way.
No.
And doesn't really teach you anything. I mean, it teaches you something new, but it nothing of substance. We know the song is called Running and we've now been talking about it for 2-3 minutes, so way to go, Sandro. Let's see what else we got. Oh, we have songs.
We have
3 more songs.
Uh-huh.
We're up to, 6 songs as of today. It's the past today, if you're listening. Let's see. We had Australia.
Yeah, I don't know, but Adam, did you guys actually wake up early and watch the national final? Because that would have been at, 3:30 a.m.
No.
Our time?
I just slept right through.
Yeah, me too. Sorry, Australia. We love you. And we know that you do the same thing for Eurovision proper, where it's on at like 5:30 in the morning.
Push yourselves closer to LA.
Yeah, just...
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Make those tectonic plates work for
you. Slowly drifting a couple centimeters a year.
We'll take it.
All right, well...
So over in Australia at that really crazy early national final for our time zone anyway, Don't Break Me by Montaigne took the win. And I'm actually pretty excited about that.
I'm kind of excited. It's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
I think... Some people were talking about, like, oh, it's a safe entry. And I think it's safe-ish. I mean, but it's a little bit weird. And I think I know Eric didn't really like the clown
motif. I loved everything about it except the clown stuff. And it's not because I hate clowns, which I don't. There are good clowns and bad clowns, like all other types of people. But I didn't get it with the song. I thought the camera work was really cool.
Yeah,
the way
it
moved around. And the choreography was really interesting. It's really, really well sung. And it's a good song. I don't know that I'd call it super safe, because it does kind of have that art pop feel to it. But the clown aesthetic just doesn't work for me.
I think they'll rein that in a bit. I love the choreography.
Yeah.
And I like the one shot take of it. I can't think of another artist that's done that in Eurovision where they had like
a single shot.
A single shot, 3-minute.
Reminded me a little bit of Calm After the Storm in a way.
Parts, yeah.
Sort of that vibe. But it feels very artsy, but also intimate, and it was really cool. I think it was probably the best thing they could have picked.
There were a couple of good, solid options in that bunch.
It's a good one. It feels like a qualifier for sure. And beyond that, it's really hard to say at this point, but it definitely feels like it'll probably do fairly well.
I hope so.
I could see top 10. I don't know where.
I mean, it's so hard to say just because we don't have that many songs at the moment. Yeah.
Something I really appreciate that artists do when they actually give it the effort is they have good dance choreography.
Yeah.
And she had really good movement, and you could tell.
Yeah, it was like a ballet.
Yeah,
in a sense, it was really, really cool. And I mean, they're just going to develop that further and improve it. That's going to be a good one in Rotterdam. She was on another podcast whose name I unfortunately don't recall, but it seems like she's a very good interview. So that'll help as well.
Good.
So. She seems a bit eccentric. I think that'll help.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. Well, hey, by the way, we should play a clip of "Don't Break Me." Derek.
Don't break me.
But enough about countries that aren't in Europe. We've got Italy. Italy had San Remo. I gotta start out by saying, Italy, what the hell?
What aspect?
Well, several. But first off, why is your national final 15 hours long? Where do you get off, Italy?
15 hours? I think that's putting it mildly. I think each program, because they were on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
I think each one of those shows was at least 4 hours long, if not longer. I think the last show ran about 6.5 hours long.
It's unbearable. And I watch the Oscars from start to finish every year. And I have a new appreciation for how short and efficient the Oscars are because of you, Italy. What the hell?
You can't.
It is unbearably long.
You can't think of San Remo like any other national final. It's not like Melody Festival and where you watch a semifinal and you're done in an hour and a half. This is more than just a song contest. It's a full entertainment show. You have special guests. You have comedy. It's really like if you took your average national final and then added like the Jerry Lewis telethon to that.
It definitely had a Jerry Lewis telethon vibe.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's all about, it's a variety show with a song contest kind of squished up in there.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like there were so many times when, and I don't speak Italian, which I'm sure didn't help, but so many times I just remember thinking, like, just get on with it. And the final straw for me, if I'm being honest, is...
Was it Roberto Benigni?
No. Wait, was he there?
Was he there?
Was he?
Yeah. He did a monologue for probably a good, it seemed like 20 minutes, half an hour. On the bits and pieces that I could understand, I kept hearing references to sex in the Bible and something about testicles. I can't... My
testicles! I assume.
So he hasn't really done anything of note in this.
He's been working on this for 20 years.
Since his Life is Beautiful follow-up, Pinocchio, which was an epic disaster.
Yeah.
I think it won the Golden Raspberry for worst film that year, too.
Oh,
and the next one's going to be his speech. No, I did not know that. I kind of wish I had noticed that.
Yeah,
the thing that really like broke me was... getting to
this. Says Montaigne.
The thing that just broke me, though, was getting to the end, they're going to reveal the top three, the order. They're going to reveal who won, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. What they did instead was they revealed who was third, and we'll get to that in a second, then did like another 15-minute interval act.
Then revealed who was first for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then second.
It was a real shock.
Shock who came
in
second.
But like, they're here at the end, at the results, they do the first one, and then there's another aside, and I just thought, come on. I just want to know which of the songs I didn't want to win did. We'll get to that in a moment. The winning song was Fai Rumore.
Yeah, make noise.
By Diodato,
mm-hmm.
The guy who directed Cannibal Holocaust.
That's
a great film joke, by the way, everyone. Fai Rumore, which means fake news. No, I don't know what it means.
Make noise.
Oh, I was close, kind of. That was the winning song. It may not be this song that gets sent to Rotterdam.
No, Diodato has confirmed that he will be the singer who will represent Italy. The Eurovision official channels have also confirmed it as well. The song, if Fai Rumore does go, it needs to be edited down by about 45 seconds because it has to reach reach that 3-minute threshold.
That hasn't backfired for Italy ever.
No. But he also does reserve the right to swap songs.
With anyone?
So the winner...
Could he get Benny Cristo's song?
Oh, that would be interesting. I want to sing Vice Versa.
Ooh, that would be great. Mm. But no, he could sing Fai Rumore. He could sing another song from his recent catalog as well, as long as it hits the ESC rules.
Mm-hmm.
That actually happened a couple years ago. I want to say 2012. Nina Tsili was the Italian act, and she was sort of internally selected from the Sanremo contestants. They say, all right, you're going to be the one who represents us no matter where you place in Sanremo. We just like you. We think you'll fit this well.
Huh. How did she fit in?
Top 10.
Oh, okay.
Very well.
That's good.
With L'Amore Femmina, which she was not originally intended to send. She was originally, everybody thought she was going to send her Sanremo song, which is called Per Sempre, which is this beautiful sort of classy, jazzy ballad. And then she did a little bit of thinking, and the delegation did a little bit of thinking. It's like, you know what? L'Amore Femmina, perfect timing, great energy. Why don't we swap for that?
Hmm.
And she ended up coming in top 10.
Nice.
Actually, can we toss to L'Amore Femmina? That is just a great, great song that I think just needs all
more
the airplay.
Love.
More love. All the airplay.
Do it! L'amore femmina, se non riceve, non si dà. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was nice.
So, yeah, so Fai Rumore for Diodato for, yeah. Or potentially Fai Rumore, but certainly Diodato for Italy.
And should we play a clip of that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yay! Che Fai Rumore, qui, e non lo so se mi fa bene, se il tuo rumore mi conviene. That, again, is, Fai Rumore by Diodato from Italy. Next, we've got our third new song of the past week. It is Samantha Tina with Still Breathing from Latvia.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, how do you feel about this one?
That's pretty solid. I don't think it'll do... If it gets to the final, I don't think it's going to make a lot of noise, but I think it could do all right.
I think the problem is that it makes too much noise.
Sam, what do you think about it?
This was not my favorite. I mentioned it in previous podcasts. You know, I understand why it's a fan favorite. It's always great to see somebody who's tried so many times to go to Eurovision finally make it. I think this is Samantha's like 6th or 7th entry for 2 different countries she's tried. And I believe Still Breathing is actually written by the one and only, well, Samantha Tina herself, but with Aminata Sabadoko, who
Ooh.
I love. And just the possibility of having her behind the scenes at a Eurovision again, I'm thrilled. To me, the song just feels just too much. It's just too much voice, too much production, too much fringe, too much too much strobe. It just dialed way up to 11, and I just, I wish she would Coco Chanel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she needs to Coco Chanel it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
I think she either needs to Coco Chanel it 3 or 4 times, or do whatever the opposite of that is, like 5 or 6 times. Just like, if this is at 11, put it at a 20. Like,
oh.
just keep going.
Give people seizures all over Europe.
Yeah, so I really love this song.
And, I know you do.
And when Sam, the first couple of times you mentioned that you weren't feeling it, and that it was, I think you used the phrase unpleasant to listen to.
Diplomatic.
Yeah,
it's the Minnesota nice coming through. You've been here long enough.
I had a hard time fully understanding. I mean, obviously everybody has different opinions on music and everything like that, but you seem pretty viscerally...
That was about as adamant as I get about a song.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I wasn't really quite sure where you were coming from until I saw it live, where the vocals are even louder and the bombast is turned up even more. And I remember thinking, one, oh, okay, I see what Sam is saying now. I still really like the song. I think it's going to be one of the most talked about songs this year because people are going to either really love it or really hate it. And
that could really help it, though.
Yeah, people will be talking about it.
Potentially. I mean, people hated... This is a weird comparison, but people hated... A lot of people really hated Amar Pelos Deutsch, but obviously that worked out okay.
Or people loved it.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that you say you only recently listened to it live because I've only ever heard it live. Like, when you guys started talking about, like, oh, I should go check this out, I found the live version, and that's the only one I've listened to.
Mm.
Well, so, I guess the initial video they released of the Supernova, like, Contenders, that was live.
Mm.
But I'd been listening to, like, the studio version, which is still very bombastic and everything. But live, the bombast is emphasized, and I feel like the general concept of rock music has death metal. The general concept of pop music has this. It's
death pop.
It's just extreme pop. And I think it's cool. It really works for me. And I think there are going to be a lot of people like you, Sam, mm-hmm. who are just like, this is too much.
I'm getting old. What can I say?
Yeah.
I think Atari would be a kind of a more apt comparison just in terms of the divisiveness of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who,
absolutely.
As soon as it starts, they know whether or not they like it.
Right.
It doesn't mm-hmm. take 3 minutes for them to make a decision.
Yeah, I don't think there are going to be a lot of people who are ambivalent. Truly ambivalent about this song.
Nor mm-hmm. should there be.
No.
Well, with that in mind, let's play a clip. Derek!
Alright, we roll on to everybody's favorite little island nation,
Iceland! Oh. What were you going to say?
Malta.
Oh, Sicily. Okay. Oh.
Little island nation, not large island nation.
Okay. Destiny 1.
Yeah, Destiny 1.
Yay!
It was, in fact, her destiny to win, yes. As a surprise of nobody. Again, I'm thrilled to see her do so well. Actually, Ida Lasko, I have to give her credit. She was the coach for the girls under a certain age for X Factor in Malta. No, because, I mean, they split everybody up into...
No, I understand. I just like the phrasing of it. Girls of a certain age.
No, because it's like they have girls under 25, they have boys under 25, they have groups, and then there are the over 25s.
And the over 25s.
Yeah, because once you're over 25.
Then you're over the hill.
You can rent a car. Sorry.
Yeah. So Ida Lasko actually had two acts in the final grouping, which no other coach did. So having Ida coaching Destiny like that, I think, is a great legacy, considering Ira's done Eurovision twice now.
Yeah.
And is very well loved.
And she's been through her 2016 performance.
Oh, yeah.
It was a ringer. It was a ringer, but it was also the initial plan for staging and everything was completely thrown out and redone.
Well, not just the initial plan for staging, but also the original song was thrown out completely.
Yeah. So she's seen
through the
everything.
Ringer. Yeah, but to have Ira's experience now supporting Destiny, I think was a really, really great thing to see. You know what? For people who don't know Destiny's voice, let me throw to a clip of her winning song for Junior Eurovision, Not My Soul.
Yes,
because we don't know what song she's going to be singing mm-hmm. for Malta. That'll probably come at a later date. Like, of course it'll come at a later date.
Everything
it'll
comes
come from
later
the past
date. She's got to be like a top five favorite just out of the gate without knowing anything about this
if
song.
If they give her the right song, she could do something incredible. If they give her the wrong song, you know, it might just be like a shoe that doesn't quite fit. So it all depends on what they give her. But at Junior Eurovision, they gave her the perfect song for her style and for her voice. So let's hope they do the same. But in the meantime, here's Not My Soul. I want the world to know, they can take away the rhythm, they can take away the gold, but they can never take away an angle, they can never take away my soul. No, no, no.
All right, I know we only have 6 songs, but in the spirit of Eurovision YouTube, that doesn't matter. What's your number one right now?
Oh, I saw this coming, and I'm still mad.
Right now?
What would get your 12 points right now?
Czech Republic. I actually really, really like Kimama.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just kind of lose myself in the groove of it. It's a different spin on things. I'm down with it.
Derek?
Here's where my bias comes through. I'm going to say Don't Break Me by Montaigne.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. I know the clown thing isn't your thing. I know they're going to change it, but I think she has the stage presence. It's a little weird, it's a little artsy, but it's also very approachable, and she has the emotional drive, I think, to connect with the camera and the audience.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Eric, what about you? I'm guessing you're probably leaning towards Latvia?
No.
Oh.
Maybe Latvia, or honestly, Albania. Shy. It's really good.
I was thinking about saying Shy, but the thing is, we don't know how that's going to get revamped.
That's true. We also don't know how Kimama is going to get revamped, because apparently
true.
That's been announced.
Yeah.
By the way, I have noticed in a handful of different contexts, the Czech Republic seems to have a surprising affinity for like Latin music, for being the Czech Republic. Like, Wanna Be Like had some of that.
Yeah.
Kimama has some of that. Mm. A surprising amount of Nicolas Joseph's output post-Eurovision has been in Spanish or included Spanish or something like that. And this isn't a complaint. It's all very good. I just, from a cultural standpoint, I find it very surprising. Because there's really no connection, historically or otherwise, between, say, Spain and the Czech Republic, I think.
Yeah, I've never even thought about that.
As strong a connection as Sweden and Donald Duck.
Kale Anka.
Spain is their mascot. Right. Moving on. All right. We have semifinal results as well.
Yeah, we're just going to breeze right through these because we've got coming attractions, so we'll kind of cover some of these on. Iceland had their first semifinal, so we had two qualifiers out of them, the band Dimma, as well as the duet Isolde and Helga, moving on to the final. Lithuania's second semifinal had four moving on. You had Miandi, Monique, Monica Maria, and the Bax.
Bax are out first. They don't start with an M.
I know, right?
Ruining it.
One of these things is not like the others.
Yeah. It's the backs. Norway's fifth and final semifinal.
Oh, boy.
Representing North Norway.
We should make a quick pit stop to discuss this one.
I suppose we should.
So, Liza Vasileva. Yep. I'm doing Danny's part with the song I Am Gay.
You're also doing Danny's part.
Yeah.
That's a stretch.
But I haven't seen confirmation of this from Lisa, but from all the reports that I'm seeing, she is not, in fact, gay.
Does not appear she is gay.
I'm all for allyship and advocacy, but... Uh-huh.
This isn't that. This is just being like, I'm gay too.
It's appropriation.
Yeah, I mean...
It's weird.
I mean,
also, the song isn't very good.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, oh, okay, so she's singing about being happy. Nope.
Nope.
She's singing about being gay.
I mean, I
don't know.
There's a certain campiness that they could have gone for, I think.
So we'll talk about the Norwegian national final as sort of our coming attractions. But that is what qualified for North Norway. That is what the Norwegian people have selected to go on, so...
They like it when ladies say they're gay. They just do.
The former Scandinavian Republic of Norway is now just called North Norway.
North Norway.
Northway.
Northway.
Poland did a night of Eurovision covers.
Yeah, for their second semifinal. So Alicia, I'm guessing it's Czempliczak?
I'll take your word for it.
My Polish is not so good. So she qualified. Interestingly enough, she sang the only Polish language classic and the only Polish Eurovision evergreen of the night. Their debut entry, Tonia, which at the actual contest came in second, but Alicia took it to the top and is now going to be in their final.
I'm not going to be too mean.
Yeah.
However, if you are interested in Eurovision for both the good, the bad, the weird, all of that, you got to look up the video of the guy who covered Heroes. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. I'm going to say one more thing, which is we are the demons of the time. But that's it. You should look it up.
Oh, dear.
Moving on.
Oh, dear.
Sweden. We had, I'm going to just go with what everyone's going to be calling it, which is laser boobs.
Daughter's laser boobs.
Yeah, she had laser boobs.
And I'm kind of envious, personally. I mean, I wish I could walk around with laser boobs.
Yeah. Me too.
I will say, the lighting effect on Daughter's song, Bulletproof, was pretty brilliant.
That's really cool. That's the sort of thing that, like, you look for in a song for people to, like, glom onto is some sort of just thing you've never seen before.
Right.
And laser boobs is definitely that.
I don't know.
I'm not wild about the song, but it's pretty good. That's kind of how I feel about both of Sweden's qualifiers last week.
Yeah, and Anna Bergendahl's Kingdom Come.
Both fine. Both interesting interesting to cool staging. But my socks are still on. They have not been knocked off.
Well, we'll see what happens this upcoming weekend. Again, we'll talk about this with the coming attractions. Interesting factoid about the second semifinal, though. This is the first time, as far as I can tell, since 2009, that two solo female acts have qualified direct to the final.
That's so crazy.
I know. Normally, it's at least one male singer in there. Last year, there was a female soloist and then a male-female duet.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a quick bit of research. This is the first time since 2009 that we've had two female soloists.
Christ, 2009 was 11 years ago. Can we move on?
Yeah.
So this increases the chances that they might actually send a female vocalist.
At this point, we only have four
since
acts.
2014.
Yeah, we only have four acts that are currently officially in the final.
Yeah.
Two female soloists, like I said, Dotter and Anna Bergendahl. We have Robin Bengtsson as the lone dude, and then we have the all-female group, The Mamas. We also do have singers who have made it to the second chance round, which for this week was Paul Rey, so male soloist, and Mendez featuring Alvaro Estrella, which the Chilenophile in me is very, very happy about, because Mendez is a DJ who's originally from Valparaiso, Chile, and I believe once ran for mayor of Valpo, which is very cool.
He used to be Salvador Allende. Should I pick the other one?
That would have been worse.
Okay. Ukraine picked picked a motley crew.
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah.
We have Crouton. Crouton, the Indian province of Goa, and Jerry Hall from...
Close enough.
Yeah. Sam, do it correctly, please.
All right. So I've only seen the first one, Kruta, I think it is, with the song 99. We have Go_A. I'm not, is it Go-A? Go-A?
Go-to-A. It's basic code.
Yeah. Okay. with the song Solove and the song Vegan by Jerry Heil, which contains the immortal lyrics, holy moly. Guacamole, easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
I want to note, I did the math on the vegan song,
yeah.
And I noted that she uses the word vegan once about every 9 seconds.
What?
So, it's like talking to a real vegan.
And you can hit Eric up on Twitter at Eric is tweeting.
Shut up, vegans. All right.
Put your beef jerky down. Yeah.
Before we look to the future, let's get depressed about the past. One quick time, let's each pour one out for a song that got screwed. I'll go first.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Penguins. The Penguins got absolutely, completely screwed. That's
Tactical Nuclear Penguin with their song Ringo Starr.
Ringo Starr from Italy. They ended up finishing third.
Yeah.
And I thought, apparently 8 of the 24 acts at San Remo privately said no.
Yeah.
So there was a chance if both of those songs had been among them, we still could have gotten our penguin on in Rotterdam, but we can't. So instead, Derek's gonna have to play a clip of Ringo Starr. Che la mia vita non è niente di speciale, e forse alla fine c'hai ragione tu. In un mondo di giorni di polio sono Ringo Starr. In un mondo di giorni di polio sono Ringo Starr. I honestly think, and Derek, I think you've said this as well, this could have won the whole thing.
Easily.
That if they had gone with this, this becomes a favorite, period, I think. It's so fun. It's like Occidentalis Karma, only more fun, and with people who would have enjoyed the process. And that could have made all the difference. I really think if they had sent that, we might be in Italy next year.
Nah.
Alas, I pour one out. I'm going to pour it out on Sam's floor.
Hey.
Okay, well, instead of that, somebody else go. Derek.
As much as I like Australia, I was really blown away by Rabbit Hole by Jaguar Jones. It was completely different and weird and edgy and interesting. And I knew it wasn't going as soon as I heard it. But I thought, I'm definitely going to be listening to this. I'm definitely going to track down more music by this woman.
Yeah.
And she threw her body into it. Too much. Dislocated her shoulder and bruised up her knees pretty badly. Mm-hmm. But hey, that's art.
Hashtag justice for Jaguar.
Play a quick clip of that. Me.
And that's Rabbit Hole by Jaguar Jones. Mm-hmm. Sam, what about you?
I am going to have to mention a personal favorite from the Ukrainian national final that didn't make it through. Actually, I think it came second to last in the...
It did poorly in both votes.
Which I'm really, really upset about. But it was the group just called (O)).
It's a box that's very surprised.
Yes. Ooh! So the song Tamgutiyatu, which is just an absolute bop.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of horn focused, bouncy. I couldn't
like
help
African
it.
Techno almost feels like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just really interesting stuff, all in Ukrainian. I was immediately addicted to it, and I'm still going to be bopping around to it whenever I hear it. So, yeah, let's just throw to a quick bit of Tamgutiyatu.
All right, we've talked about the past. There's no time for the present. Let's talk about the future. We have 3 more finals this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to start?
May as well do alphabetically.
All right, Armenia.
Yeah.
Moving on. Armenia has a couple of...
pretty solid entries.
Yeah. There's a gal whose name is not Aveta Makuchian, but it's like that.
Athena
Manoukian.
Manoukian, yeah. See, exactly. They're the same. I feel like that one has a lot of buzz. That one...
Chains on You?
I'm not as big on that one, but here's what I am big on, is Tokyo 9. Tokyo 9 is great. He's got a song called Save Me.
Yep.
And I'm going to be honest, this is another song, and I've said this about a few now, but this is a song I could see going... very, very, very far. especially if the staging is really, really cool. This sounds like it could be a single by The Weeknd or somebody like that. Maybe a little bit more EDM than the average Weeknd song, but the vocals are there. The music is really, really cool, and I am begging them to pick this.
Yep.
I want to see this. I want to see this on the big, big, flat, boring stage at the Ahoy Arena. Is that what it is? The Ahoy.
Rotterdam Ahoy.
Right. Whatever.
Yeah. So yeah.
Please pick that, Armenia.
I
know you'll
be
listening to this before you vote. Obviously, please keep listening to 12 Points from Armenia. Moving on,
right.
Lithuania.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the Lithuanian semifinal this last weekend, but we are rolling right on directly into their full final this upcoming weekend. There will be 8 songs altogether, a couple of really great ones. I think Kyra's Alligator is really adorable. Monica Maria's If I Leave, really quite lovely, and she was sort of the front runner in last year's national final, didn't make it all the way through. My money and my personal favorite is On Fire by The Roop. And normally,
The Roop.
The Roop.
Oh, the Roop is on fire. Yes. Yeah. Normally, I hate any song that has the rhyme fire and desire. That normally bothers me to no end. However, this song is so weirdly charming that I can't help but love it. And it has a dance step already that's in it, and a whole dance routine that I'm already kind of trying to awkwardly learn, but only if I'm slightly inebriated. So maybe if you're lucky, maybe you'll see that in
I do like The Roop. I like that one. I like Monica Maria. I think
there's some good options.
This is a good year for Lithuania.
They're due
really,
for one.
Really solid year for Lithuania.
They're due
I'm really happy for that. I want them to have a good song and have it be fun and have them qualify.
Agreed.
Legitimately.
Yeah. That isn't a joke. Lithuania is cool. Vilnius is 2021. Then we've got Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Norway is one of the bigger national finals for me, a Norwegian.
Yeah, I'm actually outnumbered because both of you have Norwegian heritage.
Yeah, take that, Sam.
You know what? I have Lithuanian heritage, so I will take that.
You're like 1/8 The Roop.
Yeah, that's why I've been learning the dance moves.
Yeah. That comes naturally to you.
Yeah, exactly. My heritage.
The favorite, I was just looking at Eurovision World, which kind of aggregates odds for various things.
Yeah.
By far, the favorite to win for Norway on Saturday is Attention by Ulrika Brandstorp, which is a great name.
Mm.
And
which was partially written by Kjetil Morland of Morland and Scarlet.
Oh, Morland.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Monster Like Me.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So we were talking about this a little bit earlier today. I really like this. I think this is a dynamite ballad. I don't normally go for ballads. I like this one a great deal. Her vocals are spectacular.
Mm.
She did a live performance of it in one of the semifinals. It might even be the most recent semifinal. I'm not sure about that. But it is very well sung. It is very passionately sung. It's one of those things like Arcade or like A Monster Like Me where you can really feel the emotion coming through. It's not just a song sung very well, but also very blandly. So I think this is... I think that has indeed a very good shot. I think it would do very, very well if it is the winner. Rayleigh's Wild, which is a fun but derivative bop.
Derivabop
with some aspects that are a little bit weird being sung by a little white girl. For some reason, I feel like we shouldn't count out Ryan Alexander's One Last Time.
I was about to say.
And I'm not sure why, because I don't like it and I don't think it would do very well.
Yeah.
I think it would go great at like our Eurovision party.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so weird, but...
I think it's charming, but that's
it is not without its charm. I just don't think it's a very good song.
All right.
And I think if Ulrika can sing as well as she did in the demonstration performance that didn't matter, she's got it. That looks
we
very,
shall
very
see.
Good.
We shall see.
We are starting some semifinals as well, with Estonia. The first semifinal will be done by the time this is out, I believe.
Yes, this will be on Thursday the 13th, and then their second semifinal will be on Saturday the 15th. Mm-hmm. So by the time that is all done, we will have our lineup for the full Eesti-Laul final. Iceland will also have its second semifinal on the 15th. Sweden will have its third semifinal for Melody Festivalen on the 15th. Ukraine will have its second semifinal also on the 15th. Poland will have its third and final semifinal, or heat, I guess, however you want to put it, for their national finals process, where all of these singers will sing Beatles covers.
You can't send those.
No. we learned
then
that from Italy.
You have to pay Michael Jackson.
It'll be a loaded weekend.
Yeah, it will be a loaded weekend. Something I should point out for Poland is that Albert Czerny, who is the lead singer of Lake Malawi, who happens to speak Polish fluently.
Hmm.
He is actually in the lineup for the Polish national final. He will be singing a cover of Please Please Me, so I'm sure that'll be something YouTubeable after this weekend.
Oh yeah, I was my neighbor. Anyway. Yeah, nailed it.
When I was 13.
Yeah.
All right. And then
get more than 7 points this time.
Oh,
you're mean.
You are mean.
Europe is also mean.
Yes. Europe is very mean.
We should also point out that France and Belgium will both be releasing their songs coming up really, really soon. France will have their song out on the 16th. Belgium, I'm sure Derek is
Hooverphonic for the win.
Yep. They'll be releasing their song. Don't disappoint me, guys. They'll release their song on the 17th. So
I am pleased that the other European countries I have personally been to are releasing their songs in the order in which I visited them.
Aww.
First France, then Belgium. And I guess,
I suppose in that case, if they have the Netherlands, if their song is released after Ireland... Considering that you had a layover.
I had two layovers in Ireland.
Oh, so...
I never got to leave the airport, although I do feel like I can say to some degree that I've been to Ireland because the airport is exceedingly Irish. The very first thing you see when you go to buy stuff is a giant Guinness store, and I was called a lad numerous times.
Yep.
I'm just saying, I got a magnet that says Ireland. I was in Ireland when I bought it. You can't tell me I haven't been there.
That's fair.
Sort of.
That's fair.
Yeah. I spent about as much time in Ireland as I spent in Bruges. And I miss Bruges.
You can get there
again. I need Hooverphonic to win.
Yes.
So that they can hold it in Bruges, which they wouldn't, but that would be amazing if they did.
But we can dream. We have a lot more news coming up. I mean, I'm sure that next week's show is probably going to be pretty similar to this one. Just chock-a-block full of news.
Yeah, yeah. So really quick, before we go, I want to touch on there are a handful of countries from which we have heard absolutely nothing to this point. And of course, since we're recording this a couple of days in advance, we're going to get a whole bunch of info about these countries. We're going to look like big dorks and
whatever. We always
look
like big dorks. That's fair. We're friends.
So the UK,
we
have heard nothing whatsoever.
Zip, zilch, nada, niente.
Absolutely nothing. San Marino makes me nervous. It just seems like they're up to something.
Yep.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
What hired gun are they waiting for the ink to dry on?
According to some of the San Remo rejects.
Hey, I'd be down with that.
Ooh, penguins.
Penguins. Penguins.
Penguins.
Penguins.
Penguins. Penguins. Penguins. San Marino penguins.
Can you imagine how crazy it'd be if they went to them and said, we'll send you. You guys got a 3-minute song you clearly wanted to send to the contest. We'll do it.
Pay your way. They won the whole thing.
You know, if San Marino won...
They would just hold it in Italy. There's no place in San Marino for the show.
Well, yeah, I know. But, like, imagine if they did. The Eurovision delegations and so forth would double that country's population for 2 weeks. And that's amazing. Yeah.
Basically.
But, yeah, it would be in Italy.
Yeah, they'd probably put it in Rimini or Bologna or one of the closer cities to the city. But, yeah. But, we haven't heard anything from Azerbaijan.
Mm. They're kind of late usually, though, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty late. And they normally go internal. Or they said that they will be going internal. Russia, we haven't heard very much from, if anything, which always makes me a little bit nervous.
There's always rumors, but we don't comment on rumors. We're America. Moving on.
Yeah, so we haven't necessarily gotten a date for when Ireland is going to be doing their thing, but we've gotten a little bit of word on who's going to be doing staging for them, and this is an organization called This Is Pop Baby. They say it's going to be an absolute upbeat
That's
pop.
That's pop, baby. Like so. Brisk.
Oh god, those claymation tea drinking figurines.
That's right.
They haunt my dreams.
They're representing Ireland.
Wow.
They had a turkey once.
They
now
did.
It's claymation.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Next year it'll be
California raisins singing for San Marino. And on that note, guys, why don't we wrap this up?
Okay.
Folks, hit us up on social media. We would love to hear from you. Good, bad, and different. Funny memes. Not so funny memes. We'll take it. We just like the attention. But yeah, find us on 12pointsUSA on Facebook or Twitter. You could reach me directly on Twitter at ESC Insider. You could hit up Eric on Twitter at ERIK is tweeting.
I am.
Email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Just go to our website. You could probably guess what the address is for that. But until next week, we're gonna have so many more songs.
We're gonna have at least 5 songs to talk about. Oh my god.
Much excite.
It's great.
Well, anyway, from us to you, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
Happy Corporate Love Day.
Yay, Corporate Love.
Corporate Love. That's going to be San Marino's song right there.
Wow.
Anyway, brought to you by Vodafone.
Anyway, until next time, folks, I've been Samantha.
I've been Eric.
I've been Derek.
And America.
Stop listening now.
That might be the stinger.